When we come together this evening to worship, it is a regular habit with us. We have planned to be here. We enjoy coming here. We make it a regular habit. We know where we're going to be on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and again Wednesday evening. And for us, coming together to worship God is a regular habit, and it's a joy, and we look forward to it. We make plans around that. We have put this first in our lives. But when you consider the matter of coming together to worship God, that is not the case with everyone. No doubt you saw on your way to services this evening those individuals in and around this community who had no intention of worshiping any God today. You could tell by the way they were dressed, or they might be pulling their boat, or they might be out for a motorcycle ride. They clearly have other plans. And you stop and think about how many many people around the world are like that. They have no intention of worshiping God. God is not in their lives. God's Word is not in their lives. They're out having a good time. And those people aren't necessarily bad folks. They're not, you know, a bunch of dirty, rotten scoundrels. They could be nice folks, very maybe helpful and good at their work and good neighbors and things like that. But we're just going to spend Sundays, you know, on a motorcycle ride, or we're going to go to the lake or something along those lines. We've got other things. Maybe you see them out mowing. And of course, we live out towards Cedar Hill. And, you know, when in the spring when they're planting, and in the fall when they're bringing it in and all that, just out farming and just, you know, spending all day out in the field with the big John Deere tractors. And, you know, that's what they've got planned on a Sunday. It's just no different day than any other day. And so we find sometimes that this matter of what the psalmist says here in Psalm 95 and verse 6, "O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before Jehovah our Maker," that is not in everybody's life. Not everybody believes that there is a God that made the mountains and the sea and formed the dry land, verse 5. They're not being taught that from their youth. They're not being taught that there is a creator of this universe. And so they're not being taught to come and bow down. And the idea of worship, the word literally means to bow down. And so in verse 6, we have an inspired definition. To bow in reverence is what the word worship means. Do we believe that we have a maker, verse 6, a maker? Or are we just here by evolution, just here by accident? We believe that the Scriptures teach. We believe that there is evidence, physical evidence. The heavens declare the glory of God. So there's physical evidence of a maker in the universe. There is scriptural evidence from the Bible. And so we come and we worship God. And we make that a regular habit. It's a part of our lives. And we want it to be a part of the lives of children. But it's not in everybody's life. And so this evening, I want us to talk about worship. And in particular, we're going to turn to the Psalms in order to do that. As we have begun a study of the Psalms in the adult Bible class, we are impressed when we turn to the Psalms just about on every page with the psalmist praising God and wanting to worship God. And so I thought it would be good this evening for us to consider that matter. When you look at worship, you find that some just simply will not come. And one of the challenges today is that because of misplaced priorities, I'm out on that motorcycle ride or whatever, I'm just not going to come and worship God. And maybe some members of the church have the same problem. We just want to be doing other things. You know, our weekend is so limited and we've got just such little time before we got to get back to work on Monday that we're going to cram it full of as much as we can for ourselves, and we may or may not work the Lord in. And so there's this problem of attendance. There's this problem of folks that just simply don't want to come and worship God. It's basically a problem of misplaced priorities. But there'll be those who will come, but after they get here, they're bored. And they're just simply going through the ritual or the routine. And it's not anything new. Of course, you remember, if you turn over to Malachi, God's people coming back after the Babylonian captivity, Malachi chapter 1, verse 13, you say, "Behold, what a weariness it is." And so, you know, we got to come down here to the, you know, the temple that Zerubbabel rebuilt. You know, we got to bring our sacrifice, and what a weariness it is. Not only that, but if you back up to about verse 8, they weren't even bringing the best of their flock. They were just bringing the leftovers. So bringing the leftovers, and it's a weariness. So just, you know, we just got to come down there and go through the motions and all of that. And we're just bored, you see, and that type of thing. These are challenges that have plagued people for a long time. And the solution to these challenges is to realize the greatness of God. It's amazing how much is packed in Psalm 95 and how much addresses this. Psalm 95, verse 3, "For Jehovah is a great God and a great King above all gods." When we recognize the greatness of God, then we want to be here. We want to come and we want to worship. And while we're here, we're not bored. It's not a weariness. We're not just going through the motions, but we enjoy coming and singing praises. Those words encourage us and opening up our Bibles and learning and reading, you see, and praying together and being built up in those ways because we understand the greatness of God. Some will come, some won't. And some who do are bored while they are there. And some will attend, and they're not bored, they're excited, but then there's a third challenge, and that is they want to do unauthorized things. And so it may be instrumental music. It may be something else that is not in Scripture. Instrumental music was very much authorized in the Old Testament. It was very much, in fact, it's described as a command of David. But when we come to the New Testament, we don't find that command. The command is to sing and make melody in our hearts. And so, but some will come, they won't be bored, they'll be excited, but they'll engage in unauthorized things. So it seems like at every turn there's some challenge somewhere that faces somebody. And I believe that the answer is found in part by coming to the Psalms and reminding ourselves of a study of worship there. Because when you look at the psalmist, you don't find boredom. You don't find someone who just wants to be off doing something else. You find an ideal example of an Israelite who has come to truly worship God, and we can learn from that today. Is it possible to be here and not be absent? Absolutely. Is it possible that while we're here, we're also excited? Absolutely. And is it possible that while we're excited, we're doing authorized things? Yes. And the psalmist tells us of those very things. And so this evening I want us to make a brief study of the Psalms. We're going to go through the Psalms and we're going to look at the psalmist, often David, his concept of worship, and we need to get that back into our lives if we lose that. God's people have had a problem with these types of things. For example, not wanting to come worship God. I think about Nehemiah 13. I'm busy on the Sabbath day doing what I want to do. And Nehemiah had to go in there and shut the gates on the Sabbath day. Quit selling, you see. Quit buying and selling. This is a day of rest. It's a day that you're supposed to be thinking about God. And when I think about boredom, I think about Malachi 1:14. What a weariness it is. And when I think about unauthorized things, I think about the scribes and Pharisees bringing their business into the temple and Jesus saying, "This is to be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of robbers." So God's people can lose sight of their priorities and what is right and what is authorized. So all of these things have plagued mankind for some time, and I believe it's still going on today. So today, even in the Lord's church, you have those who maybe could have been here this evening, but chose to be elsewhere. Or those who might come and they're bored. Those who might come, but now we want unauthorized things, and so now we're hearing more and more among churches of Christ, Saturday Lord's Supper, instrumental music, choirs, solos, women deacons, women song leaders, slowly moving them up to becoming women elders one day. Because after all, we can't be left behind the other denominations. Give us a king like all the nations, you see. We want to have the things that are in all the other denominations. Let's look at worship then in a positive way from the book of Psalms. Let's begin with Psalm 5 this evening. I want to look at some characteristics of worship with you this evening. First of all, we need to worship in reverence. Turn with me to Psalm 5, verses 7 and 8. When we come to worship the Almighty God of the universe, we need to have a reverent disposition. And I remember that when I was young, we had to be taught that. We had to learn that. Because when you're little, sometimes when you come, you want to goof off. And I was like other young people. There were times when I was doing that. And my father would be up in the pulpit preaching, and I would be down there goofing off with some of the kids. And one time I was doing that, and the boy that was sitting right beside me, his mother came up and snatched him up and took him in the back. And then I got my whipping when I got home. But we were goofing and punching and talking and carrying on and laughing. We have to learn when we're little and as we're growing up that we're here before God. And we need to be reverent. And we need to understand who we are in the presence of. Psalm 5, verse 7. But as for me, in the abundance of thy loving kindness will I come into thy house. In thy fear I will worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Jehovah, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. I'm surrounded by people that aren't living right, and that happens in our life today. We're going to go to work tomorrow and be surrounded by people that aren't living right. What gets us through that? This straight and level path of God leading us and having worship in our life. And notice that he says that in thy fear. The word here meaning reverence and respect, I will worship toward thy holy temple. When we're here, we are to be reverent and respectful. Turn with me to Psalm 89 and verse 7. We'll look at a few other psalms. Psalm 89 and verse 7. A God very terrible in the council of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are round about him. It is not a flippant attitude while we're here. It is not a careless attitude while we're here. We're before the Almighty God, and we need to take a very serious attitude when we're here. O Jehovah, God of hosts, who is a mighty one likened unto thee? And thy faithfulness is round about thee. In today's world, God is lowered down to the level of a joke and that type of thing. When we come, we need to be serious. Look at Psalm 107 and verse 32. Let us exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the seat of the elders. Oh, that men would praise Jehovah, verse 31, for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let us exalt him, which means to lift him up and build him up. God is not to be joked about. God is not to be trifled with and toyed with in some flippant kind of way. Turn with me to Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise ye Jehovah. Blessed is the man that feareth Jehovah, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. When we come to worship in reverence, we will not be misbehaving in worship services. Now, when you're in my position, you see a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. It was 30 years past May that I started preaching regularly. You see a lot of things in 30 years. You see a lot of things. And as I mentioned earlier, when I was little, I was a part of some of that. But I was raised to grow up and get out of that. But you see a lot of things. You see sleeping and talking and goofing off and cutting up and that type of thing. And sometimes when the young people are sitting behind their parents, you see, that's when you can get by with some things because mom and dad don't see me. The preacher sees you. God still sees us. And so when we understand why we are here, one of the things we talked about recently in the teen class was this mad attitude of coming in reverence and worship. And how do we behave in the assembly? That's extremely important. How do we behave while we're here? We're here before the Almighty God of the universe. And irreverence, it only hurts me. It hurts the rest of the congregation. And really, the ones that grow up that are silly and irreverent, what's happening is they're just biding their time for a little while. And when they get old enough to get out on their own, they're gone. They don't want to have anything to do with that old stuffy, boring worship service. I would encourage all of us to make sure that we're fully singing when it's time to sing and following along in our Bibles and engaging our minds and focusing on fearing God. He's hearing us right now. He's seeing us right now. That's amazing about the Almighty God. And we need to have reverence for Him. The first thing that we learn from the Psalms about worshiping God is the matter of a reverential attitude. We wouldn't want our children doing that at a funeral home, would we? Cutting up and carrying on and laughing and punching and kicking and making faces at a funeral home or a wedding or something along those lines. We'd be upset. But then often it goes on in the worship service. And so we need to be very mindful of that kind of thing. We are before the Almighty God. Let's reverence Him with fear. And so the psalmist says, I will come, in thy fear will I come and worship toward thy holy temple. I will come into thy house, and in thy fear I will worship toward thy holy temple. Let's be reverent and respectful to God when the worship service starts. Along those lines, it wouldn't hurt, and I like to visit with the best of them, but it wouldn't hurt just maybe a minute or so before the worship service to be getting in that mindset. That would help us. Come in, sit down, be ready. Understand that we're about to enter into a very important service. When we turn in the book of Psalms, we also find that, and this should be love, the second point, worship in love. Turn with me to Psalm 26, verses 8 through 12. Dave mentioned this in his prayer that we love God and we love to be here. Psalm 26 in verse 8. So we need to worship in love or worship with love. Jehovah, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with the men of blood, in whose hands is wickedness, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless Jehovah. I love the habitation of thy house. And you think about David, if this is a psalm of David, before Solomon builds the temple, David doesn't have in mind this beautiful grand temple that his son would build. He's going to the tabernacle. And the tabernacle had some beautiful things about it. We read about the different skins that were used to overlay the tabernacle and things. And it probably had some beauty to it, but it wasn't anything like a temple. And yet David says, I love the habitation of thy house. I want to come there and I want to worship God. We need to worship with a great love for God above all others. And look at verse 9. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with men of blood. Why would we want to spend a Sunday or an opportunity to worship God? Why would we want to spend that out with those who are out in the world? And yet we do that all the time. We'll go to a ball game and we'll just be in this big old crowd. You know, hundreds of people who care nothing about God. We're just hooping and hollering. People will do that on a Sunday and miss services, football game or something along those lines. And the very ones that would build us up and encourage us, and the very one who made this universe that we could be in His presence and bowing down to Him, if not literally, in heart and in mind, we don't want to have anything to do with that. Where's our love, brethren? Where's our love? Our love for what is important. Our love for what is great. When we come to worship in love, we will look forward to being here. I want to go to services. I can't wait until services starts. Nothing will keep me away. It's great that we have a gospel meeting. We get to come back each night instead of the, do I have to? instead of the lukewarm, instead of just barely hanging on. You don't know if the person's going to be there or not. They may or may not be there. There's none of that because we truly love to worship God. It will keep us away from this going through the formal ritualistic presence while we're here, but we're just sort of going through the motions. We won't be a bench warmer. We won't be a pew warmer. We won't be just someone who, well, it's just sort of a habit I've gotten into, but we really love to be here. Do you remember the statement that is made in Revelation chapter 2, if you'll turn with me there, concerning Ephesus, where Jesus rebukes the church there at Ephesus through John? In Revelation chapter 2, they had some things going for them that were good. But verse 4, I have this against thee, that you did leave your first love. Remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come and remove thy candlestick. You've left your first love. When did the church at Ephesus get started? Do you remember that? Acts chapter 19. Think about the evolution of a local church. It can go through an evolution. It can go through a cycle. It can go through a change. Where when you're first getting started, Acts 19, everything's great. Someone's come into town and the gospel is preached and souls are saved. And you start meeting on the first day of the week. And you can just imagine where the singing and the preaching and the Bible study, everybody's enthusiastic. But then we read about Ephesus later in 1st and 2nd Timothy, where Paul says to ordain elders there. Okay? And in Acts chapter 20, Paul had called for the elders at Ephesus. So now the church has grown enough to where we have elders, you see. And we're doing well and we're growing and that type of thing. But by the time we get to Revelation 2, where are we? Our love has grown cold. And you just stop and think about the evolution of Memorial Boulevard. It gets started in the late 1970s, and then a few years later, Larry's parents are here, and Brother Bunning's preaching, and that type of thing. And you get a building. You meet in a home, you see that type of thing, or some sort of a rental situation. That happened up in Ohio when I was a child. We met in the wintertime, very cold. In the summertime, very hot. Storefront rental building. You do that for a little while, and then you get a building. And then you get big enough to get elders and that type of thing. If you're not careful, you go through the evolution, you go through the cycle where 20, 30, 35, 40 years down the road, everybody's just keeping house. We got our building, we got our elders, we got our stuff, you see, and now we're just keeping house. So we go from a newly formed congregation where no doubt there was enthusiasm and excitement. And when you read the book of Ephesians, you find some good things going on there about the church, you see. Husbands and wives, children had families there, you see. Things are going great. But by the time we get to Revelation 2, we have their love has grown cold. So we need to be careful, brethren, that we don't go through that same cycle. We have to keep our love for the Lord hot, not lukewarm, not cold. And so we love to be here each time. And that's a mental thing. That is a desire. And we have to keep that in our lives. We learn from studying in the book of Psalms that we need to worship with holiness. Turn with me to Psalm 29, if you will. Psalm 29. When we come before God, it is not just something in the world. Holiness means set apart. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is set apart from the world. We are to be set apart, not geographically, not physically, but from sin and impurity. It's not going to be in our lives. And we need to understand with regard to coming to worship God that it must be in holiness. In Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, ascribe or give unto Jehovah, O ye sons of the mighty, ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due unto His name. Worship Jehovah in holy array, or literally, in the beauty of holiness. He's not talking about what clothes you wear when you come in here, although I do believe we need to come in with our best and give God our best. He's talking about the holy array of holiness in our life. We can't come in full of sin, go through the motions, go home, come back and do it again next week. We are worshiping a holy God. He wants those to come to Him in His presence with holiness. The young people are studying the book of Leviticus this quarter. And a lot of it has to do with the priests setting themselves apart, cleansing themselves before they walk into the presence of God. Why? Because you don't just walk in there in any old way. Oh yeah, God just come on in here with any old lifestyle. It doesn't matter. I'm friends in fellowship with everything. No, I am a holy God. And when we come and worship Him, it must be in the holy array. Turn with me to Psalm 96, verses 7 through 9. I've been wanting to do a lesson sometime. I might do it. I need to get it ready. But this idea of come as you are. Come as you are. And what we're seeing today is, first of all, and you'll see it in the Tennessean on Saturday and Sunday, ads that have to do with different churches. One of the big things now is come as you are. And they're talking about dress. Dress. But they're also putting the idea in there, your lifestyle, your habits. God accepts you, you see. I want to do a lesson maybe sometime on come as you are. The problem is not so much come as you are, that's fine, but what are you going to do then? Are you going to make some changes? Are we going to leave changed? Are we going to leave wanting to be right with God? But come as you are, you see that a lot today. When we come before God and there's sin in our life, we don't need to come as we are. We need to make sure that we are worshiping God in holiness. Verse 7, ascribe unto Jehovah, ye kindreds, the same thing that we just got through reading in Psalm 29. Ascribe unto Him glory and strength. Ascribe glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before Him all the earth. This is a situation where we want to be right with God. So, if something happened in the week that wasn't right and we sinned, we need to repent of that. We need to confess that. We need to pray. Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount about clearing up matters and then bring your gift to the altar. Why? Because when we come, we need to be in a right relationship. When we worship God in holy array, we come to a holy God in holiness ourselves. And something to think about along these lines is that if I'm not holy, that is set apart, because I have not scripturally obeyed the gospel, and after I have scripturally obeyed the gospel, I have not been living right during the week, I need to change that. Otherwise, listen carefully, my singing and my praying and what I'm doing here is not acceptable to God. Who went down to his house justified in Luke chapter 18? The person who thought he was right and said he was right, but he wasn't? Or the person who said, be merciful to me, a sinner? Who went down to his house? They both went to the temple to worship. Who went down? Who went home right? We can come here, but we need to be right with God. And it's something to think about. Well, I go to services with my wife, or I go to services with my husband. That's good. And I go with my parents, and I go with my family. That's good. But if my life is not right, then I'm not worshiping in the right way. I'm going through some motions. I'm doing some things. It's good to be here. It's better to be here than somewhere else. But I need to be right. That's why obedience to the gospel is important, and living right each day is important. When we worship in holiness, we start with a life that is pure and right. We need to be set apart. We can't come with impurity. We can't come with that and expect God to accept it. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. If something has happened during the week where we fall, where we fell, fall and falter, seek forgiveness so that when we come, we can be right. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 10. Hear the word of Jehovah, you rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What unto me is the multitude of your sacrifices, saith Jehovah? I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to trample my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. A new moon and a Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with iniquity and the solemn... I cannot away with iniquity and the solemn meeting. They were joining the two together. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary of bearing them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. What's the solution? Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead the widows. Quit coming up here with dirty hands. I won't hear it. I won't accept it. Just going through the motions. It's a very strong statement to Israel of Isaiah's day. So, let us come and be pure and right. And if we need to take an invitation to come forward and be pure and right, so that the next time we come, we'll worship in the beauty of holiness, let's do that. But to keep coming with unforgiven sin, God does not accept that. We need to worship regularly. Turn with me to Psalm 34, verse 1. We don't need to be hit and miss. We don't need to be hot and cold. We need to be raising our children to be consistent and constant. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless Jehovah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We need to be someone who worships regularly. We enjoy being here. We love being here. It's going to be a permanent place in our life. You don't have to wonder come Wednesday night where we're going to be. You don't have to guess or wonder next Sunday morning. That decision has been made long ago. There are regular worship services. And in David's day, there were the weekly Sabbaths, and there were the monthly sacrifices and the yearly sacrifices. And David says that whenever something is scheduled, I'm going to be there. Look at Psalm 52, verse 9. Psalm 52, verse 9. I will give thee thanks forever because thou hast done it. I will hope in thy name, for it is good in the presence of thy saints. We're going to be regular, and I'm going to let this be a lifelong practice. In Psalm 113 and verse 3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, Jehovah's name is to be praised. Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing unto Jehovah as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have any being. One of the last things out of my mother's lips before she got so far along with her mental state that she couldn't say anything, one of the last things she was saying was singing songs. It needs to be all throughout our life. She was taught that as a child. She taught that to us. She carried that with her all through life. It needs to be regular. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be constant. Psalm 146 and verse 2. While I live, will I praise Jehovah. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. And when we have this attitude, brethren, we won't have to worry about absenteeism. We won't have to worry about irregularity. We can be counted on. Turn with me to Psalm 134. There are some situations where you can't count on the brother or sister to help in the local church. You don't know if they're going to be there to fill in or to do something on the duty roster. It's just sort of a guesswork every week. We don't need to be like that, brethren. We need to be a regular functioning part of the body. And that we are so regular that we're spiritually strong. Every time we're here, we're built up. Every time we're not here, it's just a little bit taken away from our spirituality. Can we be counted upon to be regular? I find it interesting in Psalm 134, the psalm is about thanking David. I'm sorry, I have another psalm in my mind for a later point. Look at Psalm 134. Do you know that some of the work of the priest and the Levites involved keeping the candle lit all day long and keeping the incense and the fire going? And there were people who had to do that all day long. Would you have been one of those? Well, where are they? Well, they're not here. Well, why? I don't know. Bless Jehovah, all ye servants, that by night stand in the house of Jehovah. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless you, Jehovah. Well, wait a minute, I got a party I need to go to. I got friends I need to visit. I can't be down here at night. You can't expect me to be working down here at night. There were things that had to be done on a regular basis, and there were faithful servants to do it. And we don't even meet at... We're not even down here late at night. Ever. But some people... Well, I can't make it on Sunday morning. Well, I can't make it on Sunday night. Well, I can't make it to a gospel... We need to seriously look at our service and how serious we are about this. And how much we should love God and... Bless Jehovah that by night stand in the house of Jehovah. Well, man, I want to be sleeping at night. I don't want to be standing down there manning the service of the temple. And yet, that was a part of it. Can we be counted upon? I hope so. And I believe this congregation is full of brethren that we can count on. Let's all of us strive to be like that. And if there's someone who is not, encourage them along these lines to be regular and to be that which can be counted upon. That's the way our worship needs to be. We need to worship in truth. Turn with me to Psalm 81. Brandon was asking me if I had a chance to visit the tent revival, just down the street at Payne Chevrolet. I noticed that they were having that, and I drove by that. There are millions of people who worship around the world, but much of it is not biblical. They mean well. They're sincere. They're the sincerest people in the world, but they do not have biblical authority for much of what they do. Truth must be behind our worship. It's not just coming to a place and just doing whatever we want in the name of religion. It must have truth behind it. And so when we worship, we have to have book, chapter, and verse truth. Look at Psalm 81 and verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wouldest hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any foreign God. I am Jehovah thy God who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. There's just one God.
and you don't be worshiping anybody else. What is that saying? Our worship needs to be directed toward the one true God.
It must be in truth. It must not be based upon strange gods, foreign gods, vanity. We worship the God that brought Israel out of Egypt, period. And yet, today, including some churches of Christ, acts of worship, there's no authority behind it. Are they sincere? Yes. Are they loving? Are they kind? Are they many good qualities? Yes. But they do not have book, chapter, and verse for what they're doing. And so, turn with me to the New Testament. I read in the New Testament of four kinds of worship. John chapter 4 and verse 24. Those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth. Circle that little word must in your Bible. It's not optional. When we come to God, those whom God seeketh are those who must worship in spirit and in truth. There is truth worship. There is worship that is based upon reality and the truth of God's Word. There is one God, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. One. And we come to worship that one true God. But I also read about three other kinds of worship. Turn with me to Matthew 15 and verse 9. In vain do you worship me, teaching as doctrine the precepts of men. You can worship in vain. It's just empty. It's worthless. When we come in and when we do things that man says to do, it's vain worship. That's the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Then turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 23. Paul comes into Athens and he's talking about all of these men who are worshiping all of these false idols and these gods. And he says, the one true God, you've made this altar to an unknown God. This is the God I preach to you. And this is the one you worship in ignorance, he said. There's ignorant worship. And you know what? All the little children that are raised up every day and their mom and dads have them doing things that aren't scriptural, they're just ignorant. They're just ignorant. And it's a shame. They're growing up, learning and doing things that are not according to the Word of God. And I'm guessing that there were some people there in Athens that Paul was preaching to that are thinking, well, this is what we've always done. When I was a little kid, we used to come up here, you know, to Mars Hill and the Areopagus, and my parents brought me up here and they taught me to worship all of these. I don't even know any better. They're ignorant. And he said, this is the God I proclaim unto you. He wanted to give them the truth on the matter. And then last of all, turn with me to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. Will worship. That is worship of the will. That's the worship that I want, that I desire, that makes me feel good. We do what we want to do here. And much of what we see in the religious world today is tied to this. Why are you doing such and such? It's because we want to do it. It makes us feel good. It allows me to use my talent to do such and such. And it's all based upon the will of man. So, we can either worship with the will and what we want. We can continue to worship ignorantly. We can worship vainly and empty based upon what man says. Or we can worship in spirit and in truth. The psalmist says that we need to worship joyfully and thankfully. In Psalm 100, turn with me there. Are we happy right now? Are we joyous? Are we happy to be here? Are we happy to learn from God's Word? Are we excited? When I get an opportunity to hear somebody else, I enjoy learning. I enjoy reading. Hey, that was a good point. I make a note of that. Did we enjoy singing earlier? We are to be here with joy. In Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto Jehovah, all ye lands. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that Jehovah, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and we are His. A lot of this gets back to recognizing God as Creator. We wouldn't be out riding around on motorcycles and floating around on a boat when we really realize that God is our Creator. We've gotten away from that in our world. The greatness of our Maker and our Creator, I would hope, get us back to coming to worship Him. But, verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Give thanks unto Him and bless His name. For Jehovah is good, His loving kindness endureth forever, and His faithfulness unto all generations. We're here because we joyfully and thankfully, we're full of gratitude. Look at what God's Son did for us on the cross. God sent His own Son, Jesus. We're happy, we're appreciative of that. How generous He is. Each day, we're going to be happy while we're here. And when we are, we won't have a do I have to attitude. Mom, do I have to go tonight? Dad, do we have to go to every night of the gospel meeting? We won't have a do I have to attitude. We won't have a tug of war. It won't be a tug of war. We will want to go. We won't come kicking and screaming. We'll want to be here. Do you remember what Paul says? That God loveth a cheerful giver, not grudgingly or of necessity. Service, our worship, will not be a drudgery. It won't be a complaint. And when we have these things in our life, it only hurts ourselves and others. We're going to be here joyfully and thankful. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, turn with me to Psalm 111. We're going to be here wholeheartedly. I'll tell you what, one thing that really encourages me when I get an opportunity to travel and be with brethren in some other part of the world, I'm telling you, it's like they're screaming when they're singing. They love to sing. They're just shouting, and half the time they don't have any songbooks. They love to sing, and the little kids are just singing out real loud. And I'm sitting there, and I'm hearing this, and I'm thinking, wow, they've got their heart into it. And Brother Reeves, you just preached an hour. Could you preach another hour? Of course, you know me. I probably wouldn't turn that down. But we love to pray, and we love to sing, and we love to study the Bible. We need to make sure, like our brethren in other places, that we are wholeheartedly putting our life into this. Praise Jehovah. I will give thanks unto Jehovah with my whole heart. Underscore that and put it into practice. Put everything into it. Everything into your prayers, your Bible study, Your singing, the Lord's Supper, everything. Leave it all out there. We talk about athletes. Leave it all on the field. Leave it all in the church building. Just wholeheartedly serve the Lord. And what that does is it shows Him that we truly love Him, and we're not going to have the situation of the boredom and the apathy and the indifference and the clock watching. And I've learned to be mindful of those kinds of things. We certainly can't just so extend ourselves that brethren run out of an attention span. But we're not watching the clock. We're not bothered by those things, and we're certainly not sitting just sort of going through the motions. Because brethren, what happens is when we're just sort of just barely here, and our children are just barely here, I've seen it happen, brethren, that when they grow up, they get about college age or so, especially when they start driving on their own and making their own decisions, their decision is, I don't want to go anymore. You and Mom can go on down there, but that's not for me anymore. Because in their early years, they weren't taught to get the Bibles open, get the songbooks open, follow along, put your whole heart into it. We're just sort of barely there. And then when we get a chance, lickety-split, to go, we're gone. And we see it over and over again. So let us put all of our heart and soul and being into it. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will give thanks with my whole heart. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Put all of our being into it. And the passage that I wanted to mention earlier, if you turn over to Psalm 132, this is a psalm that is thanking David for his attitude. You remember in 2 Samuel where David said, I want to build a house for the Lord? Look at what the psalm says about this. Jehovah, remember for David all his affliction, how he swore unto Jehovah and vowed unto the Mighty One of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for Jehovah. You talk about a man that is committed and his whole heart is in life is invested in this. I'm not going to sleep until I make sure God has a house. And this psalm, the first part of it, thanks David for that. Well, the lesson is yours. We need to worship with reverence and respect. Let's be serious while we're here. There's a time for cutting up and goofing off, and nobody likes that more than I. Good, clean, fun. But this is not the time or place. Let's come with love over all other things and people. Let's come in holiness. And if there's something that we need to clear up and clean up in our life, let's do that so that whether it be obeying the gospel for the first time, whether it be coming back and repenting, whatever the case might be, so that our worship is acceptable. Let us be regular. Let us be that which can be counted upon. Let us worship in truth. We're not going to engage in just whatever we think or feel and just throw it into the name of worship. But we're going to do that which we have book, chapter, and verse for. Let us be joyful and thankful while we're here. And let us put our whole heart into it. Do you know, one thing that happens is when we do things over and over again, we tend to fall into a ritual and a routine. So I hope that this has been a reminder this evening to offer the worship that God truly wants. And the Psalms are a great place to go, a great manual on how to worship. We don't look at the world around us. We turn to God's Word, and He tells us the kind of worship that He wants. If we can assist you in making your life right, if you need to come forward and let some need be made known, do that. We want to be here holy, set apart. And if sin needs to be removed and we can help you to do that as a part of the invitation, why wouldn't you come and stand as we stand and sing? Jesus.